Hey everyone, it's Mike. Before we start the episode, I have a quick question to ask. Do you own a brewery? Do your customers love trivia as much as I do? Well, then you better listen up, because Geeks Who Drink Weekly Trivia Nights are the cornerstone of event programming for over 650 breweries and bars nationwide. Geeks Who Drink Trivia is consistently fun and low-effort way to build a community of regulars, because we all need our norms, cliffs, and all that, but we want to bring more people in as well. So you can even turn that slow weeknight into the busiest night of the week. So get started with this exclusive offer for my Taproom listeners and get your first quiz night free. Go to geekswhodrink.com/taproom and enter promo code taproom. That's geekswhodrink.com/taproom, promo code taproom. And now, onto the episode. And we're back. This is episode 62 of the Taproom Podcast, and I am your host, Mike. This one was really, really fun for me, at least who I have on the interview with Jonathan, the head brewer and his assistant brewer, Josh, from Frogtown over in LA. You may hear a little snoring in the background. That is my new dog, Morgan. She is the brew dog, and I'm taking her to her first brewery today. So I figured her first brewery, we should probably go. We're going to take her to Noble. Then come back and watch the Avs and my Bravos play. But yeah, had a great conversation with Jonathan and Josh, two honestly really great people, and like, you know, kind of having different, you know, each of them having different journeys. Like, I mean, then that's what this is all about, you know, and like how they both felt like they were destined, you know, to do this, like to do this with their life. So it was a really, really fun episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. But yeah, let's see. I don't have a beer this week. I'm going to actually run a little low. I drink, but I had a War on Sobriety, one of their doubles from Frogtown. Might have drank that because it's damn, damn good. We had a good time last night. I got Morgan. My sister brought her down. We had a barbecue, made some shrimp tacos, made some masala tacos, drank so much beer. Might have done a couple shotguns, maybe a couple shots of tequila too, but it was a lot of fun. Let's see, what do we got this week? The NHL playoffs started, the NBA playoffs started. I'm not going to pretend like I have watched enough basketball to know what's really going on. I mean, when I do watch, I know the Lakers played, I did watch the Lakers and the Nuggets yesterday. Man, Denver just looks just as good this year as they did last year. So, I mean, I kind of feel like, man, with Jokic and those guys, I feel like they kind of have to be, you know, the team to beat. But like I said, I don't watch it enough. And I feel like Boston could maybe do something too, but that's about all I got. I am excited though about the NHL playoffs. My Avs start today against Winnipeg. Not going to lie, not the most confident right now. I think they have a hell of a team, but losing Jonathan Drouin for the first round. So, I mean, if they don't make it out of this round, that's not going to play anyway. But, I mean, I'm still excited. I still think they have a really good team, and they're playing the Winnipeg Jets. The only thing is they played Winnipeg three times this year, didn't beat them once. So that should be pretty, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, yesterday the Islanders lost to the Hurricanes, and Boston just went in there and thumped Toronto. And kind of like with Toronto, though, like until they get over that hump, I mean, I'm not really buying into them. But I do really like Boston this year out of the East. I mean, I think the Rangers are going to be right there as well. Out of the West, I mean, Dallas looks really good. I mean, I don't see the Knights beating them. And then in the Lightning series, I mean, I like Florida. I like the Panthers. I still think, I mean, until the Lightning go down again, like, I mean, they're just so tough in the playoffs. And you got a guy like Nikita Kucherov, who's just a bad motherfucker. But I mean, you know, that's not to say Florida doesn't have like a bunch of really good players, but I'm going to go with the Lightning in that series. Caps and the Rangers, going Rangers all the way. The Predators and the Canucks. Predators are playing really good hockey down the road. I mean, down the stretch. But I still think Vancouver probably wins that series. Don't have a ton of upsets. I mean, the one I feel like that could be is the Kings and the Oilers. Kings did stumble a bit, but honestly, so did Edmonton. Edmonton has not been playing their best hockey. So I could see the Kings winning that series. I think the Kings definitely did not want to play Dallas. But yeah, I got the Kings winning, Kings beating the Oilers. But yeah, should be pretty good. What else has happened this week? Oh, the NHL approved the Coyotes move to Utah. I saw a mock-up of someone did the Utah Yetis. And the actual mock-up of the jersey looked pretty badass. So like that would be pretty cool. What else going on this week? Well, this coming week is the World Beer Cup. So over in Vegas. So good luck to all the brewers out there and all the breweries that submitted their beer. I mean, I can't wait to hear all the winners. That should be fun. And hopefully, some local ones, take home some gold or take home a medal. All right. What else do I have this week? Oh, we did have a couple things that I did on Instagram. Let's see. We did the Geeks Who Drink trivia question of the week. And that question was regarding Orval and Trappist. So I said Orval and Chimay are still brewed by what monks? And the choices were Franciscans, Shaolins, and Trappist. So that answer was Trappist. About 131 people got that right. And about 95, I think it's 95. I guess Franciscans, which was incorrect. And only about 20 people selected Shaolins. A bunch of other people looked at it and maybe they just didn't want to look like wrong or something. Hey, but I mean, I was like doing this, so I'm going to start doing this once a week, having their Geeks Who Drink trivia question. And then also, I did ask a question as well. I asked, what was the beer that got you into craft beer? I am going to say Sierra Nevada was probably about over 70% of people's answers, and there was so many of them. So I'm not going to have to, go through all those, but I will mention some other ones that people said. Foodies Unite CA said the Patsy from Barley Forge. Batman_Leveron said Lagunitas. Chu, my boy, said DBA Firestone Walker. Let's see. Brewski said Fat Tire, then Arrogant Bastard. Rambling Alcoholics Podcast, shout out to those guys, said Barrow Brothers Sour Skittles. Sounds pretty delightful. Mayo Munch said, let's see here. He said Bar Squatch by Rope, but then he said, oh Jesus, I meant Bat Squatch. That one made me laugh when I saw that one. My buddy Bone Shack, what's going on, brother? Said Samuel Smith, Oatmeal Stout, and the Bearded_Brewer, Sierra Nevada, another Sierra Nevada, and Widmer was kind of like the beer that kind of got him into stuff like that. But yeah, there was tons of responses. But like I said, a ton of them were Sierra Nevada. Beer Belly, shout out to Beer Belly Pod as well. They put that on there. And they said, let's see, because I didn't know that was a longer answer, so I just wanted to read that. It says, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale paved the way for us to gain a liking for more hoppy flavors, which led to falling in love with IPAs and excited us that they continue to evolve to this day. Thanks to Sierra Nevada. I thought that was a cool answer, but like I said, a ton of people said Sierra Nevada. So I'm just, I'm grateful for you guys, interacting, stuff like that. I like to do that stuff each week, but see, I don't have anything else. So what do you say? Let's just jump into the interview. Like I said, it was a blast. And honestly, shout out to Art, LA Brew Life on Instagram, who kind of connected Jonathan and I, which was, it was a really fun, like I said, conversation. And Art was actually there when we recorded. And there's also a bonus beer review at the end of the interview with Art and his brother. So stay tuned for that. But all right. Well, I hope everyone has a good, you're going to talk to me at the end of the outro anyway. So I don't even know what I'm saying. All right. Enjoy the interview.
All right. And we're back in the tap room. And I have a couple of very special guests on today. I have the head brewer and the assistant brewer from Frogtown Brewing in Los Angeles off of Gilway and Ripple, about a hop, a skip, and away from Dodger Stadium. Jonathan and Josh, how you fellas doing?
Doing pretty well.
Great. Yeah. Awesome. So today, how we always normally start is, asking about your craft beer journey, but we got a couple of beers in front of us.
So yes, we do.
Let's talk about the beers first. Well, and I am drinking the Everything Under the Sun.
Everything Under the Sun, yeah.
That's it.
Hazy, coming out of, I think, 5.8?
5.8, yes.
Okay, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking our award-winning Lights Out.
Love it.
Czech Pils.
There it is. Can't go wrong with the Czech Pils. And what are you drinking?
I'm drinking coffee. Oh, there cold brew. All
right. It's all right. I mean, technically, it's,
you know, me a beer.
Yeah. Let's
there go. It is. And you crack that sucker right into the mic.
Crack it.
We're doing ASMR this morning.
Yeah. I always do the, oh, there it is.
Breakfast.
I always love seeing that little spike. So let me take a drink of this bad boy. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's actually one of our first collaborations Josh and I came up with. So it's definitely one of my favorite beers that I'm drinking.
Awesome. No, that's delicious. Love the lacing on the glass. It's always a good sign. But yeah, tell us about your craft beer journeys. Like, do you want to start, Jonathan?
Sure, I can start. So for me, I've always been into craft beer. I think one of my first beers was Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Okay.
For most people. And I've always wanted to get into the beer industry. I used to be a banker for 10 years before I got into it officially. I tried to be a beer tender for so long because I just loved it. I wanted free beer.
Yeah.
And I applied so many times. I can't even tell you how many times I applied at Stone in Pasadena just to try to get in.
Yeah.
But they're like, you have no experience. So, which sucks. But it makes sense though. I mean, they don't want just some random guy pouring beer into their mouth.
Yeah.
I'm sure. So yeah, I was a banker for a long time. And at some point I got laid off and I didn't know what my next move was going to be. So one day my buddy and I, he had a homebrew kit that he bought 3 years before I got laid off.
Okay.
And it was just sitting in his garage and he goes, I'm like, hey, you still have that kit? He's like, oh yeah, I forgot that I have that. What, you want to try doing it? He's like, no, but let's sure.
Yeah, let's try it out.
So, but before that, we actually found like a local spot that was doing homebrew teaching classes. They no longer do it now, but at the time, and it was a complete disaster too. Like the boiler wasn't working, or it was off of a hot plate.
Oh, yeah.
it just didn't work. We just went home with a jug of wort we didn't know what to do with.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it started. So then, but I got the bug immediately. I was like, okay, you know what? I want to make my own beer now.
Yeah.
How do I get into it? So I picked up a few books and I found a course at UCLA. They were doing like brewing science.
Oh, dang.
And so I immediately applied and I got it maybe a week later. They're like, hey, not enough people applied. So we're going to cancel the class.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, great. Well, like, maybe it's not meant to be. So I looked around a few more different avenues, and my partner at the time, she found Cal Poly Pomona.
Okay.
They have Innovation Brewworks was doing a course for assistant brewership. I think it was one of the first or second classes at the time. Shout out Innovation Brewworks.
Nice.
Eric. So yeah, I immediately jumped at the opportunity, and they have a 3-barrel brew house at the time. And I was just completely dedicated to it. I just, you know, I was working I was kind of like doing like part-time work here and there, but ultimately every morning at 7 a.m., I'd go in there, keg things off, help with brews as much as I could, try to absorb everything that I can to learn how to brew and become a brewer. And I never thought that I would be doing that at all. And then sure enough, after 6 weeks, just dedication, they're like, dude, you're really good. Like, I think this is something that you can do. Yeah. I'm like, okay, me too. This is great.
That's awesome.
So then, yeah, as soon as I got a certification from them and you know, it's pretty much skyrocketed from there. I kind of started applying to different breweries and I applied here at Frogtown. And, you know, I think I had an interview here and I met the owners and everybody was great. The chemistry was just there, I feel like, and, you know, just hit the ground running. I got the job in February 2019 and I've been here ever since.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's freaking kick ass. And Josh, how about you, man? How did it all start for you?
Similarly to him, I had a funny job beforehand. I was a real estate agent for 5 years.
Oh, shit.
And in Orange County. And right out of college, and I also drank a bunch of beer, and I was living with my grandpa for out of college, and he used to brew, and he had this story of making this beer and not waiting long enough and just wanting to rush it, and coming home to just glass and beer all over the floor because he bottled it.
Yeah.
And it kept fermenting. And he loved that story. And then one day was just like, hey, do you want to, there's a homebrew shop that we still go to every once in a while in Costa Mesa.
Is it Windsor?
Windsor.
Yep, Windsor.
Okay.
So he took me to Windsor. Yeah. And we got a little, just the basic setup, got one of those boxes, the $20 like homebrew kit, and did that. And he was all like, anything you make is going to be so good. I used to like make a beer, cover it with the towel, see what happened. we got drunk, so it worked. It was good beer. And I was all scientific and I was being a dick. And I was like, you're doing it wrong. Like you got to check the gravity. It's got to be exact. And he was like, I think you're really into this.
Yeah.
And, but I just did it as a hobby and I would just step it up, start going into partial grain and then all grain, stepped up my setup. And a couple years of doing that there. And then when I moved to LA, I don't know. I woke up one morning and I was just like, I don't want to be a real estate agent anymore. I want to make money making beer, and I want to do it at a professional level. But it's so hard to get a job at a brewery without experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a lot of industries, but it's like, how do I get experience without getting the job? And I saw this place that was asking for resumes, and it just said brewery online.
Okay.
It said tortilla factory, actually, for a brewer. And I was like, okay, they're going to jump into beer. Like, yeah, I'll try. Maybe this is my in.
Yeah.
And I show up, and it was just at this giant warehouse in downtown, like Chinatown. And it turns out it was a kombucha brewing place.
Oh, shit.
And even though that's not what I wanted to get into, I was like, any way to get to be brewing and also get a job.
Yeah, and that's a completely different animal too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I ended up getting the job, and one by one the brewers kind of left. And I was head brewer there, and we had, even though it was a completely different process, we were using the same tanks, a lot of the same different equipment. So I figured, and giant sizes, like they had tanks there that were a couple 30 barrels, and so really big scale. So I figured, as long as I'm home brewing at home, doing all grain, doing the whole process of the brewing, and then using the equipment that I'll be using professionally, those kind of together will look good on a resume. But it ended up not really mattering, because I threw out this idea to him that really worked, being like, let's do a collaboration with a brewery. Because I think Rogue did like a 50-50 kombucha beer product. And I was like, let's do that. And it'll be, in my head, it'll be a good way to meet some brewers and meet some breweries.
Make some connections, yeah.
So the closest one that I could see was Frogtown. Okay. I come over. Adam, the owner here, gave us a tour. Jonathan was there as well.
Yep.
And I was like, this place is cool. We had a few beers with them. And then I kept coming back, and like, we were talking, they were down to do it. They were like, let's go. That sounds weird. Let's go.
He was,
They should have known what was up.
Yeah.
He had a cot outside and the whole thing.
It's like a futon in the back now.
And right when it was like, we got the flavors, we had like three different kombuchas that were going to match with three different beers. We got the ratios right. It was in a really interesting, cool product. And then the pandemic hit, and the kombucha place was so small that they just kind of stopped operating. I went on unemployment. Shout out unemployment. That was great.
Respect.
And a couple months into the pandemic, I reached out to the GM and the owner, and just like, hey, I know this is the worst time, absolute worst time to hire, but you want to hire me? And they were like, we're selling beer cans like one by one out of the front door. If you want to do like one day a week doing that, I was like, get my foot in the door. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did that. And then a couple months later, started shadowing Jonathan. And then
keg washing later, started up.
Yeah. Yep.
Started
doing
up.
That cellar person, and then assistant brewer a year after that. And then I just got promoted to brewer as well in January or last year, maybe. and love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Dude, that's, I mean, and kudos to your grandpa.
For real.
Because, like, for him to, like, say, like, man, this is, like, you know, because he was just doing it. He's like, hey, let's get fucked up, essentially. and like I said, and who doesn't want to do that? My grandpa was the same way. I mean, not about drinking beer, just about any type of alcohol that's in the house. But for him, like, to tell you, like, man, this is, like, you know, this seems like something you're really into and you should pursue. And not a lot of people have someone in their lives that are willing to, you know, like, hey, dude, like, you know, this is what you should be doing.
Absolutely.
Especially if you care that much about it. And the same to you, Jonathan, too. I was like, with your partner and stuff, because after going to UCLA and trying to get that, going to that course, and then them finding out that there's not enough people to be a part of it, like, that could be, like, you know, thinking like, oh, maybe it's not meant to be.
Right.
But it didn't stop you. And you wanted to continue to pursue that and push forward. And to both of you guys, like, it didn't matter what, like, life in front of you, whether it was a pandemic or a class getting canceled, like, you still were both willing to, you know, soldier on and freaking and do that thing and do what you wanted to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's in us. And thank you to all the people that have surrounded me. And I'm sure it's the same for Jonathan, with support.
Yeah.
And seeing, I don't know, it's so funny talking about something that you're not passionate about. I feel like people's eyes glaze over listening to you, versus when you're passionate about something, people see that spark in your eyes.
Oh, yeah, you can definitely hear it
in your voice. And the people that, the good people that you want to surround yourself with, are the ones that can really notice that and speak up and mm-hmm. support you and following those passions.
Yeah, because you have to have that fire in you, but having, you know, you can still do it on your own, but if you have that support system, that's, you know, that makes it even, you know, even better, because it just, it shows that you're not just, like, you know, people aren't just taking, like, oh, he likes to brew. But, like, something like
right.
when you have that, like, you know, like, this, you're passionate about this, and that's something you want to do with for the rest of your life. And if you're willing, I always say, if you're willing to work hard for something, it'll happen. It's just a matter of, you know, putting in the work, the dedication, the, you know, having that drive to want it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. It's been an insane ride for sure. It's just, never would have thought, you know, it's just one of those small dreams you think about, like, you know, I'd like to make beer one day.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Oh, yeah.
That reminds me of supportive people and then not. At the homebrew shop, I remember they were asking me questions after I was going there for a little while, and they're like, so what's your dirt like what are you up to? I'm like, well, one day I want to open a brewery. And they're like, don't do that. They're like master brewers, and I was just like, I want to get good enough to brew beer good enough that you open a brewery and then that's it.
Yeah.
You have a good product.
Right.
Easy.
Yeah.
But they were like, don't do that. Don't. And after knowing the owners here, they have the same
open a beer. They said,
"Yeah,
it'll be fun." No, they said,
"They love it so much." But there's just always a fire. There's just always something, and it's never easy. But it is the same driving force of passion and wanting to be in this industry, and the joys of seeing this place full of people drinking this product and being in the space and enjoying what you're making that makes it all worth it.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah, we've been given the tools to succeed here at the brewery. You know, we were able to push through the pandemic, and you know, because we had such amazing beer, amazing leadership to guide us through the pandemic. And honestly, that's kind of keeps us motivated to keep making good beer and kind of just keep going. And I can't say thank you enough to the ownership here at Frogtown. It's just so amazing. It's been like a family here, and it is love to keep it going.
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure, man. You need, like, it's because sometimes I feel like people, like, you know, they think of, like, you know, because during the, let me digress a little bit, but the, when it comes to ownership, like, sometimes people would just throw money at something and think it's going to work, but you have to have the right people in place, and you have to, and when you get those people, because it does become like a family. Like, I'm sure you guys are close as shit, you know, when it comes to, you know, like, everything that you guys do. But it's crazy about, like, how the journey to get to where you want to go, like, where yours was, like, you know, the class getting canceled, yours was your grandpa telling you to pursue it. when you have like, you know, that drive to be able to continue and just, I'm trying to think of the right words, and I might have to edit this out, but I'm probably going to leave it in. But just like when you can come together and it can put the right idea, and you don't have to come from the same, not everybody takes the same path to get right to where they want to go is what I was trying to say. Get it together, Mike.
Growth is not linear.
Oh, for like sure. My therapist yeah, is. Because I mean.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, but I've talked to like, to even people, like one of my favorite stories that I ever heard from a brewer was Naomi down at Helia in Carlsbad. She worked at a winery. Mm. She never brewed before, but then ended up like there was a local brewery like right next to the winery, and she would go there and she just shadowed. She never homebrewed, never did anything like that. And then, you know, she shadowed, and then Helia poached her. And yeah, and then now she's a head brewer down there.
That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Isn't it crazy? Like yeah, everybody, like, amazing. You know, because not everybody has the same path. Not everybody has the same journey. The destination, everybody wants to brew good beer and put out a good product. And even to the product aspect, like this Hazy is amazing. And then was it Ether?
Mm-hmm.
The one I had earlier, yeah, the West Coast was amazing. Like you can, you know, like I said, you can throw money at something that doesn't necessarily, it's not always necessary to layer that. I can't talk today. Isn't always necessarily going to work.
Right.
So the homebrew kit I wanted to ask you about, was it like one of those Mr. Beer kits?
Yeah, it was maybe, I think it was a 3-gallon Rata ale, and it was all extract brewing. And I kind of, we went through the whole process, and then we're like, yeah, we're messing this up. Let's not do this. That's why we sought out for help and stuff like that. And then, yeah, I went to Windsor, and they're like, what do you want to brew? And
yeah.
Like, okay, I want to brew like a, I don't know. What do I want to brew? Yes, you tell me. He's like, how about really a Belgian blonde? Like yeah. He's like, how about a Belgian blonde? I'm like, you know, that sounds good, actually. Yeah. I might do that. What does that one consist of exactly? And he's like, you know, you can use this hop, you can do this. And they're like, what are hops again?
Yeah.
You know, it was a whole brand new thing, and it was amazing. And it's still one of my favorite home brews that we did with my buddy Neil. We have Belgian blonde with chamomile tea, and it's like very Christmassy. It's my Christmas ale, essentially. Oh. Bedtimes for tea.
Nice.
One of my buddy's dog was Tiger, and rest in peace. She was an amazing girl. So we used to call bedtimes for tea. Bedtimes for tea. And yeah, I named it after her, and it's amazing. It's like a, you know, blend between a Belgian blonde with chamomile and hints of lemon.
Okay.
So just like really just 6.5%.
That sounds.
It's delicious.
Yeah, I've heard good things. It's completely crushable.
I haven't brewed it in maybe 3 years.
Okay, but. Well, it sounds like you need to brew that for Christmas time.
Absolutely,
comes.
I think so, right?
Yeah, I would say the closest thing is we have a wit beer, Belgian wit beer here.
Okay.
We it's orange peel, not the lemon, but there is chamomile
mm-hmm.
in it.
Nice.
Yep.
And it's great.
Yeah. What was your first homebrew, Josh?
Mine, I think, was just a wit beer.
Okay.
And it tasted medicinal. Something went wrong. Some oxidization or something. And I knew it. I knew that like it wasn't great. My grandpa, it's so funny, like 4 beers in, I'm doing like coffee stouts that are like partial grain, and I'm just like spending so much more time doing it so much better. My grandpa was like that, but that first beer, that first beer, though, that one hit the spot.
He loved that grape.
Probably
like grape. You almost like for the grape flavor things, you almost get like that medicinal kind of flavor.
Exactly.
To it. So was it that? What it was? It kind of that.
Yeah, it was that. Yeah, it was that grapey cherry. The color was off.
Robitussin?
Yep, exactly.
Robitussin, I guess.
Hey, the biggest thing I've learned in brewing is to how you name it and how you call the style. You can be like, oh, it's supposed to taste like that.
Yeah, that's normal.
It's the NyQuil of beer.
The Robitussin.
Beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. But what are your, like, because I know everybody kind of like, oh, they love different things, but obviously brewing with different styles of hops and stuff like that. What are some of your guys' favorite styles of hops to brew with?
I feel like we gear towards, which is so popular, the New Zealand.
New Zealand. Dude. Those blends are
Rewaka.
Insane. Are you kidding me? Those blends are so crazy.
Take like, my money.
I think I think we heard the name Nectar on, and we're like, Nectar, we're on kind of deals. Like, we need to try this guy, you know? And it's so crazy to think how hops have evolved and how they just continue to evolve. And it's just like, we got to try all of them, you know?
Oh, I think, for sure.
And we've been trying a little bit more and more and experimenting a lot more. Like, for example, that Everything Under the Sun, this is the second iteration of it. And, you know, for me, I was never a really big fan of hazy beers.
Yeah.
And I think I looked at Josh, I'm like, I want to make a hazy beer that I actually want to drink. And I think we kind of collaborated together and just kind of came up with this recipe. And the first one was great. But then we came up with a new blend, Lotus.
Okay.
Lotus was just like orange and vanilla flavors. And then depending on how you use it, could also be like a Smucker's, like jam.
Okay.
So we're like, well, that sounds cool.
Yeah. Maybe another beer.
That's fun. But I don't want Smucker's. I want orange. I want, you know, vanilla. And then we already were using Eclipse for this beer. And just that combination of mandarin and orange, and it's just a burst of citrus. It just became one of my favorite beers. And I'm like, finally, a hazy that I can drink.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately our goal here, is to make beers that we want to drink. The consumer, you know, can have their say, but ultimately, you know, I drink more here than most consumers.
Well, that's what they always say, like, you brew one for them and one for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Two for me and one.
Yeah, there you go. But honestly, this one, though, this Everything Under the Sun, it's like you get those, like, those citrusy notes to it, but it's super smooth, like as a really like easy finish.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something where it's like super heavy, because don't get me wrong, I'm not the biggest hazy guy. I like them when they're done right.
Right.
Because it doesn't have to be like this, because if you have like four or five hazies, you're like, mm-hmm. after a while. That's why I stick to a lot of West Coast or Pilsner's lagers, stuff like that.
Right.
But if a hazy's done right, like this one, I could drink this all day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's super bright.
Yeah.
And when we were working on the recipe, Eclipse was the main focus. We had both tried a beer that right when Eclipse came out, and it blew us away. And we're like, all right, we need to make a beer with that. And then shelved that. And then the conversation of like, want to make a good hazy that like we really, really love. And then those two ideas, those two like thoughts kind of came together. And part of it was making like, there's a lot of Pilsner malt in it. Something super simple and highlighting the hops, but easy drinking, super bright.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out.
It's floral, it's citrusy. Mm-hmm. Do you have a little, those different notes to it, man? It's fire.
Yeah. Yeah, so absolutely. Definitely the newer hops that are coming out are very enticing. We want to keep working with those, but also sometimes, you know, go a little traditional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't mind using the CTZ, Columbus, Tomahawk, and Zeus. Those are still fun too.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, for our homebrew, I think we stick to the classics. But when we do commercial stuff, I think we experiment a lot more now, more than the way we used to when we started.
Yeah. There's New Zealand hops though, man. Like you, what you guys are doing with those, like anything New Zealand, like I would say, take my money. But because I want to go so bad, just go to the hop fields out there and then also go to see Hobbiton, because I'm a huge Lord of the Rings nerd. Mm-hmm. So I think that killed two birds, one stone with that. But like Rewaka, Mutweka, like anything with that, like, just take all my money.
Yep.
It's yours.
Yeah.
So, but no, this is killer. And do you guys can this?
Yes, we do.
All right.
Yes,
well, yeah, we actually have to buy one of those.
Yeah.
This is the first batch. It's sold out.
There might be a four pack somewhere in there that we can find for you.
We'll take a look at our inventory.
Our wonderful GM Kelly worked on that label, and we actually all like him did some drawing and talking and came up with a label for that one, and I think it really helped sell the beer, and it's cool.
No,
it's great too, man. I love, because you said this is a second iteration of this. Mm-hmm. Right. That one, and I'm sure listeners probably get tired of me saying it, but I love the fact that brewers are never okay with what they made.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, all right, yeah, this is good, but I can make it better.
Oh yeah. And absolutely. And that's what I love. And I would never want to get to the level in at a brewery that's so big that it's everything is it's got to be perfect on the first time, and there's no change, or else it has to be a new beer. Like, I love that we have our favorites here, and we're getting better as brewers every single day.
Yeah.
You may think, like, okay, like, what else is there? Every brew I do, there's something that mm-hmm. I note, something that I want to do differently the next time. And then you're getting that final product. As long as you like, I don't know, have the notes and you have everything going for you, you can go back and be like, I just want to tweak this one thing.
Yeah.
And see how, and it's so satisfying. It's so satisfying to make those tweaks. And Lights Out was one of those for us. This beer has been basically around since the birth of the brewery. And we won an award for it, I believe, at the California State Fair, like 2019.
2019 mm-hmm. was the first time we received the bronze for this Lights Out Czech Pils. And then most recently, runs for the Brewers Cup of California. It was so big.
Yeah.
It's been great.
It was awesome.
Congrats to you guys.
Yeah. Man. Thank you. It's been, you know, we're still a small enough brewery where we can get away with, you know, tweaking little things and, you know, which is the fun part for us. You know, we're definitely always trying to get better and be better. And you know, very thankful for our Czech Pils to have won an award. And this is honestly maybe the third iteration of it, if I may say. You know, we started out in 2019 brewing this beer. And then we've kind of just like, what if we do this? What if we do that? Mm-hmm. What if we do this? It still comes out amazing.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think we went back to basics with this recipe and kind of just dialed in more of our overall process and efficiency and, you know, water and everything and kind of just, you know, but we're still improving it. You know, we're still trying to make it better. You know, we're grateful for the bronze, but, you know,
it's got to be gold.
Gold
or nothing.
Damn right. And I love that because it's never good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, that's even for me, for the show. It's to me, like, it could be a phenomenal episode, but like, all right, what can I do to make the next one better?
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have, I mean, that's why I love brewers. There's a never ending drive to want to make something even like, you know, just like that much more gratifying. And, you know, it's even for customers, like, I'm sure like it's probably great for when you guys see a customer drinking the beer that you brewed and you're like, and they're enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it. I'm lucky enough. I'm the only one that I work one day a week. Like, I'm working tonight.
Yeah.
Serving beers tonight.
Starting right now. What are you talking about tonight? Yeah. You're working right now. Open this up.
And it's great. Like, I, as much as I, my passion is not pouring beers, it's making beer. I really, really don't, I wouldn't want to give up the day of getting feedback, of seeing people's faces, of being able to kind of take extra time to explain beers. It's great it's usually Saturdays, our busiest days, and lots of times all the beer tenders will be able to, like, we actually have one of the brewers here. Like, if you have a question, and I can step aside and have a conversation with them. And
that's awesome.
I think that's super special. And I could talk about beer. Some people are like, oh my God, thank you so much for talking about beer. I'm like, this is all I want to do. So thank you.
Beer education is super important too, especially when you're at a brewery. And if you're working, you know, be able to talk to somebody like, oh, did you get these, you know, even if it's like subtle notes, mm-hmm. you can say, did you get this subtle note from this or from that? Or depending on which style of beer or which beer you're pouring, you know, it's cool to be able to talk to somebody like that when they have that type of education and, you know, be able to just, you know, point those things out to someone that maybe is not as familiar with craft beer.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah. And I think that I think being so deep into making beer and being obsessed with craft brewing and all that, and knowing the process so well that you forget somebody might drink beer every single day and not know anything about how it's made. And I think most people are like me in that the more you know about the process and how it's made, the better something tastes
and the more
interesting. And I love doing that. I love just beers also at its core. Like, you can start off that conversation at such a simple point. Like, it's four ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're like, okay, I can do that. I can take that in and understand that. And I don't know. I love just a simple amount of education that gives a little bit more appreciation to the beer. And I think most people love hearing about it.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few people that their eyes just completely, they're yeah. like, I just want like, a hazy, sir. What's your favorite? Just give it to me, yeah. please.
I asked you to just pour me a beer.
Definitely want to take a quick second to appreciate Josh. You know, he's been a strong asset for our brewing team. And honestly, like, he's pushed me to be better as well. And, you know, it's definitely because of him that we're here. We're celebrating, you know, getting awards. I mean, awards don't mean much, but, you know, the fact that we're getting them, it's really says a lot to his dedication in brewing. And I just want to say thank you.
Damn, dude.
I know. Maybe it's the beer. Maybe it's just you.
We got a fist bump on the thing.
Looking at me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We got a great team back here.
Oh, yeah. And I also want to shout out to Art real quick. Who's down at the end of the table.
Yeah.
Is it underscore Brew Life? Okay. LA underscore Brew Life. Because I would just say LA Brew Life on Instagram. I mean, on the show. I'm sorry. But yeah, LA underscore Brew Life. Honestly, for setting this up.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, he did it with me, with John over at Native Son. He's, you know, we're trying to set up some other ones too, but he's been, honestly, he's a great fan and he's just a great person overall. And he puts out a lot of good stuff. And he's the one that's kind of motivating me to come down to the LA area to talk to more brewers, go to more breweries and stuff like that. So super appreciative of him. So shout out LA underscore Brew Life on Instagram.
Great. Yep. Art's amazing.
Yep. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for the caps.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Gray hat.
Yeah. There it is.
Perfect. Made in this rusty old Frogtown hat.
Dad hat suck. I have a big head.
There you go.
The truth comes out.
Is it fitted only for you or snapbacks? Or what do you?
Yeah, I do both. I do fitted snapbacks. But yeah, my head's too big for dad's head. So I'm just embarrassed.
Now, I like the rope hats. But I mean, it's fitted and snapbacks for me, but I do love the rope hats too.
It looks like we're sold out of ours. Those as well. We had a few of those. You're talking about the ones with like the rope.
The ones Art gave us were I love those. Those are good. That's very comfortable.
For sure. Did want to ask you guys, because I was about to ask, favorite style to brew and drink?
I love brewing a sour. A kettle sour.
Okay.
We don't do them very often, but it's I don't know. I love the process of I love the danger.
Nay. Scary.
And then on the opposite end, I love like a very complicated, darker, like grist. Like I love being able to work with a bunch of different malts that like I mean I touch so much Pilsner malt, I touch so much Turo, sprinkling in a few things here and there, and I just love a darker beer that you can really play around with using so many different malts in the mash temps and just seeing how that turns out and focusing on those. You can really taste it before and after.
Yeah.
So I think those are my two fits.
When you said danger, though, I thought the song, you know that song?
Danger.
Can we
put that in?
I don't know the song, so probably be like, I can loving do like two you or 3 seconds before they come after me.
Playing with dynamite.
There you go.
Hope to stay away from you.
The first time anybody's ever sung on the podcast. There we go.
And it would be Jonathan.
No matter how hard I try, because it's danger.
There it is. Boom. Nailed it. I want to grab it.
That was my jam, dude. That's my jam.
I'm going to auto-tune your voice right there just to like, boom. You sound like T-Pain.
Danger. I'm buying a drink. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. I'm done.
Cut them off.
For me, brewing, honestly, brewing just excites me, but just brewing with new ingredients is always fun for me.
Yeah.
You know, the complexity of what can happen. You're just like, you throw an ingredient in, you're like, what's going to happen? Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the fun part for me. So it's essentially any style, but just new ingredients, things that I haven't done before, something brand new, you know, like very complex like styles, you know, it's still something that we're working towards, but I like brewing in general, but new ingredients, I'd say that's my favorite thing.
Yeah, and not being able to, because some people are scared of change. So, but like when you have new stuff coming out, they're like, oh, I might just stick with what I had.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to that brewer's thing, like you're wanting to like, oh, this is new. It's like, what new toy can I use? Or can I play with today?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's awesome.
That's craft brewing. That's micro craft brewing where just we have the ability to, we don't have millions of people that are expecting the same beer and it's kind of what we got. Like we don't have scientists back here making sure that the Natty Light tastes exactly like the last billion batches of Natty Light.
Yeah.
Like it's supposed to be exciting. People are supposed to come in and be able to look at a menu and have a few things that are safe if they're just looking for something that tastes like a Modelo.
Yeah,
we got that for you.
Yeah.
But they also want to look at a menu and see something that they can't get anywhere else, mm-hmm. not even at a craft brewery.
Yeah.
And we try to keep up with that. And that's the fun. That it's like home brewing. You can mm-hmm. take it a step further where you're doing just something that half the time is undrinkable.
It's funny, your gateway drug.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> And then here you can, when we're doing these 15 barrel batches, sometimes if it's really weird, like 10 barrel batches, you can get weird with it, and that it's so exciting. It's alchemy. Like I still pinch myself sometimes at how cool brewing beer is.
Yeah,
you look at it and you add these four ingredients, and you could taste this thing, and it you just have to kind of like know what each ingredient does, because 2 weeks later it's something completely different.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's really really good.
Yeah,
and you get to get drunk off of it.
Yeah, and sometimes you find those like random things that hit, and you're like, oh fuck, like we're sold out already. We got to make that again.
Yeah,
but then also people love special releases. They love like specific things, like oh, this is going to be out. Well, if you're cracking one, I'm cracking one.
Too. Get it? No, absolutely. And you know, one of the things that we do here that we've been trying to do more often, and you know, definitely come out for the summer, is we do a lot of collaborations with a lot of the tiki community. And one of my favorite beers to also brew is the owners here at Frogtown love tiki drinks, tiki cocktails. And that's kind of what inspired Painkiller, who used to be one of those beers that we brewed maybe once, twice a year, has become a popular, one of our core beers because Adam loves Painkillers. So just beer iteration of these cocktails has been really fun. So during the summer, we do a lot of these types of beers where we get the flavors of these cocktails and kind of come up with a beer recipe that complements those cocktails. And It's those are probably a lot of fun coming up in the next summer or the next coming months. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know the first one that we're doing is called Spindrift. Okay. So it's our sour 7% orange or lime and passion fruit
and lemon.
Vanilla. And it's just amazing. So
it's so great.
Nice.
And shout out other owner, Gustavo. He's huge in the tiki culture and going to the tiki bars, knows every owner. Yeah. Like going out with him to a tiki bar is so fun.
Probably knows like Tiki Tony and all them too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And basically we had like Brown Magic, which is the black magic, and Tiki Cocktail. That's our version. And we had Painkiller.
Yeah,
like one more. And then we started this tiki series, I think 2 years ago. And this is going to be the third year that we do it. What Jonathan was saying, like each month we do a new tiki beer release based off a tiki cocktail. And half of the months, maybe even more, we're bringing back the like favorites, either from new ones from the previous year or super favorites. And Painkiller doesn't count. Painkiller's just always on.
Yeah.
But we do an R&D at Gustavo's house. He's a great bartender, mixologist.
So
and if you've had tiki cocktails, you know these things, you just like slurp them down because they taste so good, but they're four shots and a floater on top. So we're stumbling out of his house after these R&D hangouts but we usually come out with a pretty good idea at how we can make a beer that's a homage to that cocktail and try to mimic what you like about that cocktail, but still be beer.
Yeah.
Because we're not just trying to make, there's some breweries that you go and you want to taste something and it's like, oh, this tastes literally exactly like carrot cake or whatever. Yeah. And it's that thick and it's that sweet as well. But why not just eat carrot cake?
Like, yeah.
Versus, I think we try to take the favorites, the notes, things that people really love about it and make a beer version.
Yeah.
And make it beer and make it, but still keep it being an homage. And and I think we have some favorites, absolute favorites.
Have been a lot of fun. And, you know, can't say enough of how just delicious those beers come out sometimes. Yeah. It's just like, so all these fruit elements. And then we, you know, playing with ingredients to come up with rum flavors, you know, because most of these cocktails are rum based. So it's just playing with that idea. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just so much fun. But yeah, look forward to Aloha Sundays coming up starting April to October, typically the last week of the month. We have Aloha Sundays. We have a band that comes out and we have vendors that come out, and it's just amazing weekend or amazing Sunday. So we usually have a beer release for those events as well. So definitely something that I'm very proud of.
Awesome, man.
It's a good time.
Oh, sounds like it. Kick ass. So tell us a little bit about the beers you have on tap currently. Like, some of your favorites that you have on the menu.
You want to start?
No, you can start.
Okay. Yeah. Political answer. I love them all. Yeah. So we have I love seeing how our menu throughout the seasons change. We have it split between light, hoppy, funky / sours, mm-hmm. and dark malty beers. And it's so funny seeing how these lists, they change. Summer comes up, the light section starts growing and growing, mm-hmm. and the dark section dwindles down to one or two.
I just want crispy boys all day.
Hey, me too. This is the season.
Yeah.
But coming out of winter right now, I'm looking up at it and we have six dark beers on right now, and I just love to see it. And they range from 4.7 being our Dunkelweizen versus our Prince George, which is our anniversary beer, 11.1%.
Yeah.
And I can't get enough of these dark beers. When it's cold, when it's raining like it is today, just warms you up. And Prince George will always be my favorite beer, I think, of all time.
I love the label of that. I was telling Jonathan earlier, it reminded me of Mr. Toad.
Mm-hmm.
Because, because it's a ride at Disneyland. No paid sponsorship from Disneyland.
It's a good ride, honestly.
But the book, The Wind in the Willows, like mm-hmm. Toad Manor, like the his crest that they describe, because you can't see it in the book, but it's described of how that crest looks like on his house. And when I saw that logo, I was like, oh, I need one of those stickers for sure. So, Jonathan.
It's so good.
Gave me a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our Prince George, we do it every year. Age it in bourbon, whiskey barrels for 8 to 10 months, depending. And then we do a variant of it. Yeah. This year, we are doing Heaven Hill, which is amazing. And then we're also doing a special rum barrel variant as well. So definitely keep an eye out for that. But yeah, it's definitely a great beer. Yeah, we try to do a little bit of everything for everybody, you know, like we were talking about, you know, we get all sorts of walk of life that come in here and want to try something, you know, beer for the first time, or, you know, maybe just don't want beer. We offer some non-alcoholic drinks as well. At Seltzer, you know, we're moving forward to a place where craft beer is everything, meaning mm-hmm. like you can have whatever you want. Go to a brewery, you can have seltzer, you can have cider, you can have any kombucha, maybe potentially, you know, it's like everybody's trying to do a little bit of everything to bring people in the door. And once you get them in the door, then that's it. You know, that's how you keep business going.
Yeah.
And I think we do a really good job about that. You know, we started doing the seltzer cocktails, mm-hmm. which we get a base seltzer, age that in rum and bourbon barrels, and kind of use that as our base and just make cocktails out of it, you know, or mimic as close to the cocktails that we have, you know, serve it on ice, mm-hmm. a little lime, you know, just to create that experience that you're at a cocktail bar when you're essentially at a brewery.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just creating that environment for our customers to be able to hang out, enjoy whatever you want as far as, you know, at the end of the day, you go to a brewery to socialize.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, some lubrication, you know.
A little liquid courage.
You know, and we want to create that experience.
Yeah. And I think you and I were talking a little bit before we started about how there's obviously trends within craft beer. You have, you know, you had the haze craze, you had the summer of seltzer, you had all these different things. But I honestly feel like those craft cocktails are going to be the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, you're not just bringing in people from, you're bringing in the craft beer people for your stuff, but then you also have the seltzer people, and then you can almost combine the two, and then you can bring, and then also bring in those people that just love to go to bars mm-hmm. and have a drink, you know, and they can have that part, they're still getting that taste out of it. Like, you know, with being aged in bourbon barrels or whiskey barrels, stuff like that, mm-hmm. or rum barrels for that matter. When you have that, you're bringing in a completely different audience because they're coming in and try one thing, but then they'll probably try something else.
Absolutely.
And then you're developing that trust within, you know, like within that community. And like, they're going to continue like, oh man, we should go back there again because of this cocktail that they had. So.
Absolutely. And I think that it's so funny, people coming in, like Jonathan was saying, we're trying to provide an experience for people. And yeah. We have events here. We got a stage outside and a beautiful little beer garden. And people have their birthdays here. And unfortunately, some people come in and be like, I hate beer. So what do you got for me? Or I have celiac or whatever. Mm. Like, what do you got for me? And we got that. We started off with the hard seltzer. And then obviously, with Gustavo being really into cocktail culture and tiki culture and everything, any way that we can, it's where the creative juices flow trying to, like, what can we get away with? Like, how can we serve a cocktail, something that a lot of people are more comfortable holding and drinking than big pint glass full of liquid bread.
Yes.
And we figured that out and we try to make it something that we would drink as well, because hard seltzer wasn't necessarily either of our things.
Never.
But we really like try to make it craft and something that's interesting and really cool, and taking the hard seltzer and barrel aging it and tasting that just out in the barrel and being like, wow, that's really interesting and cool, which is rarely something you say about plain seltzer.
Yeah.
And then being able to do whatever. It's a spirit at that point.
Yeah, it's like a sandbox. And, like, you can do whatever you want.
Absolutely. And we serve it in a highball glass with a craft cube, ice cube, people and a garnish, and we hand that over and people are very surprised.
That's awesome.
And they love it. So I'm glad that we can, like, I don't know, you get creative to create an experience and make somebody feel at home.
Yeah.
The way that we feel when we're around here.
Yeah, and it might also change because, like I said, not to just go back to, like, it never being done, but, like, you can do something completely different out of left field that's, like, you know, because, okay, think of, like, 2008 when it was, like, Stone and Carl Strauss. Back then it was, like, you know, fizzy yellow beers for wussies, stuff like that, right? Where now, like, look where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, the industry has grown, not just like obviously like with the amount of breweries out there, but just what people are putting out. Because lagers are back, pilsners are back, West Coast are back, and thank God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I love a good hazy.
Take me back to Stone being strong 21 ales. And Stone being like, yeah. Arrogant bastard, 200 IBUs, punch you in the throat.
Oh, dude, like, that was the first bourbon craft beer I ever had. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yep.
I was like, my palate was not ready for that.
Nope.
Not even a little bit. But where craft beer is at now, like, it's exciting for me. And Art, shout out to Art again. Art. He knows this. Like, for me, it's like anything crispy, Mm-hmm. Put that shit in my mouth and take my money.
We'll come by this summer. We have some big plans for Crispy Boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's gonna be a Crispy Boy summer.
There we go.
Crispy.
Short shorts and everything.
Crispy girl. If I have to see Jonathan in shorts.
There we go.
Brewing.
Say which Jonathan? No, then I'm never mind. I'm Mike. I forgot.
Thick thighs save lives. That's all I got to say.
I totally forgot because we were talking about the beers on tap, but there's one beer in particular I wanted to talk about because it's called the War on Sobriety.
Yeah.
And I want you to, you told that. Me this story.
Yeah,
briefly. I want you to retell that story if you can.
War on Sobriety, it's an amazing beer. It's probably one of the collaborative efforts with Adam, and that when he was in college, he mentioned that there was like a fraternity situation where you can bounce around between fraternities, and I believe it was a weekly event, and it's called just War on Sobriety. They give you a shirt, which is like a tee. This is War on Sobriety, and you just go around and just get hammered.
And to clarify, weekly as in it lasted a week, right?
Yeah, so daily.
Daily for a week.
Which
I can't tell which one's worse.
But with his college friend, Rob, shout out to Rob. Yeah, they came up with this recipe, and it's just been such an amazing double IPA. It's still definitely one of my favorites, definitely during the pandemic. I drank a lot of it. 10% double IPA. But it's a really fun beer, really fun name. A lot of people come and see that name like, oh yeah, we're always fighting the war on sobriety. I'm like, well, you came to the right place, bud.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how that goes.
Oh man. And I love that story. And that's why I made sure I came over to put it on my notes, like to bring that up. But you guys are also, like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, you guys are hop, a skip, and a jump away from Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, tell us about what beers you have over there.
Currently, we just have our Kinky Blonde, which is amazing to have. I know we started it a little bit last year, but yeah, we were fortunate enough to be selected into getting our beer back there. So it's definitely, we don't know exactly where it's at. I know last year it was towards the barbecue spot, but I forget that it's like the right pavilion. But yeah, we're going to have our Kinky Blonde Ale there, and it's definitely 5.2 crushable. It's just an amazing beer. It's our number one seller, honestly. And it's one of those beers that just starts you up with craft beer. It just reminds you of the first beer you had, where it's just like the introduction of it. And I think we've been doing a really good job to the point where we've had to improve our process, and we've had to do more loads of it just because the demand is there for this style of beer and for our beer. And we're just very fortunate to have it there. It's, I can't even describe last year just having a Kinky Blonde Ale watching the Dodgers. It was, I was like, I made this. Like, I yelled it out at one point. I was like, I did this.
Yeah. This is my beer.
This, I did this. Drink it.
It's my beer, motherfucker.
They're losing.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just a dream come true completely. It's just, I've been in LA my whole life. And man, that's
big Dodger fan over here.
It's insane. And they'll break your heart.
Yeah. They'll break your fucking heart.
But definitely, we're working on a couple things to bring that beer, because that's a universal beer. It's one of those beers that you can have anywhere, any occasion. And kudos to the owners who created that beer. We just brew it. When it's happy to brew it. I'm actually brewing that right after this. Just because the demand is so high, I'm here on a Saturday. Brewing it. So it's just too good. But it's that's all I can say about that.
And that's one that we don't touch the recipe.
Okay.
It does not change over time.
Well, we've tweaked it to
slight modifications.
I mean, we're still trying to perfect it. We're always trying to make it better, of course. But the essence of it is just still there, and it's not going to change. I think that's one of those beers that we've been the most consistent with.
Okay.
And that's honestly the hardest part about brewing, the consistency. And it's just a great beer. We don't. Like we yell to each other, don't fuck it up. Don't fuck it up. You're brewing it.
Too late.
Like, Josh, you son of a bitch.
That's their number one rule here at the brewery. Don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
Super simple. But harder, easier said than done.
Yeah.
No. But it's one of those beers that, thank God, we started getting bigger tanks. Because we had, when I came in, we had the 5 15 barrels and a bright tank. And Kinky would always be in two of them. And it was just brewing it constantly. We couldn't do too many. We like try to squeeze in new things, but it was mostly just focusing on the cores. And and every once in a while, we could like get, oh, let's do a new thing. We got a tank open. That's crazy. And then so we got the two a year into me being here. So got the 230 barrels, and that just changed the game. We could throw Kinky in there at all times. And we have these another 30 that's open, and then five other tanks at all times that we don't have to have Kinky, two being Kinky.
Yeah.
And we get to try new things. We get to do our cores, have more of our cores on it at each time, and then at all times, and then also make so many more new beers. And so my time here has just been like the golden era to join a brewery, because that's we've been awesome. Able to write so many recipes together and make so many new beers at the same time as really honing and practicing a very well-known beer that regulars would taste. And if it was off, they would be able to know it. And so would we, obviously. I've drank no other beer more than Kinky, and being able to like do the two different sides of trying to just make it as good as we know it should be every single time, and then being able to get weird in our other tanks.
Yeah.
And we actually just got a new, and the 60 barrel outside, I don't know if you saw it.
I didn't see it.
It's intimidating. It's four turns because we have a 15 barrel brew house. So a double brew day.
Love it.
It's super fun. But that this summer, that thing's going to be full at all times.
Love it.
Hopefully keep Dodgers going.
Yep. There you go.
Yep.
You got to fuel Otani.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Got to pay all that deferred money.
Yep. Got to get it.
Let's get into that.
There you go. One question I was like, when I have brewers on is, what was the worst brew day you've ever had? Whether it's homebrew or at the professional level, what was the worst brew?
Pumpkin. It's always pumpkin.
Pumpkin. That, like,
so we do our Imperial pumpkin ale.
It's
called Broken Vessel.
Is that why it's called Broken Vessel? Because it was stuck mash or what?
Now it is.
Yeah.
It breaks everything every single time.
It's such a great
Basically,
beer.
You add pumpkin 500 pounds or whatever we add. So much. Where once our hands are broken vessels, our forearms, because we... openers.
Oh, yeah, opening cans.
And it's about like 50 cans of pumpkin, add it straight to the mash. And
yeah, let's put it this way. A typical brew day is anywhere from 5 to 6 hours whenever we brew this pumpkin ale. Don't make dinner plans. No nightcap for you.
Yeah.
This is going to be an all-nighter.
Okay.
But it's such a great beer to brew. But yeah, it's just dealing with pumpkin. It's just funny. It's a thick boy. It's an Imperial pumpkin ale. So it's definitely up there. But yeah, I'd say that's probably our hardest brew to brew.
Just becomes orange concrete in the mash tun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like... What is that cocktail, the cement mixer? that shot you put in like Bailey's in your mouth and like...
I've never heard of that, but let's go.
Look at the cement mixer.
Now we have to try that.
So where are we going after this?
It's like when you're 21 and it's like, can you want a shot? Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, give my friend a cement mixer, and it just curdles in your mouth.
Oh,
and it's just like, yeah.
Oh, that sounds rough.
The cinnamon challenge for adults.
It was before the cinnamon challenge. It's like the green lizard or the...
Oh, lizard shot.
A tiki tea.
A tiki tea. Shout out tiki tea.
Yeah. Jeez. One other question I love to ask at the end of every episode is favorite food to eat with a beer. And it could be pizza, tacos, burgers, or wings.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something outside of that that you like to have with a burger, with the beer, then feel free.
I think we talked about this earlier when we were talking about Whittier, Uptown Whittier, 6740. hot wings, watching the Lakers, amazing IPA. That's my bread and butter. That's it. Yeah. Just give me hot wings, an IPA, the Lakers.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
First time I read Pliny was at 6:40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That spicy with IPA works so well.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's got to be a burger.
Yeah, yeah. I love a good burger, especially a good smash burger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you like a smash burger or thick?
I love a smash burger. Okay. He has a saying that's, it goes like, fuck smash burgers.
Oh, okay. Fuck smash burgers.
Fuck smash burgers. But I've come around.
I love a good smash burger.
Like grumpy old man, okay.
But there's also this really cool food truck that comes by here that just came by the other day, Stuck Ups, and they kind of do, it kind of looks like an old school McDonald's labeling or whatever.
Okay.
And they're called Stuck Ups because they basically do, they basically do all the
corporate burger,
but stuck up versions, like just better ingredients.
Their take.
Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Exactly.
This isn't a paid sponsorship. This is sponsorship. By Papa John. I'm going to leave that in.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, they're going to look for you, not for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so good. Yeah.
So good with a lager or
nice.
Just something, or a red ale, honestly. Like,
yeah.
I love something that is a little bit sweeter, roastier, has a little bit of body, but goes down easy.
Yeah.
But we actually we've done a couple pairings at the brewery.
That's right.
And
that's
right. We've done, like, for National Donut Day, we paired up with Donut Friend, and we got a couple.
Like, is that like a pastry stout, or what is that?
So actually, it's not a collaboration in that way. It was a day where we did food pairings. So we got... For us, R&D is like one of the best days ever, where they sent us a bunch of donuts, like every single one that they have.
Nice.
And we poured all the beers that we have and basically like went down and be like, well, what we know about this beer and food pairing and our palates and this donut, we would pair to like three different beers with that donut and choose the one that works the best. And some of them were just, I would say at the end, the flight of four donuts, four beers, was all of them were just unbelievable. And we did that with cheese as well.
Yeah.
And one of the best ones, you think cheese and wine, but if you do it right, oh my God, I can't see any wine pairing with a blue cheese as well as Warren's Variety does.
Wow.
It's a match made.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was a crazy pairing.
So when's the next R&D day?
Yeah. Yeah. Come on by.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll jump in.
The last time we did the cheese pairing for our anniversary. Yeah. Typically our anniversary is in October. We do like a 4-day event, 5-day event, depending on how fun we're feeling. But last year we did the cheese pairing he's talking about right now. It was just phenomenal. But yeah, occasionally we'll try to do food pairings here and try to get people in and, you know, just because our beers are just too good to not pair with food. And who doesn't love food and beer? We gotta
give
people
burgers.
What they want.
And the good thing about food. The great thing about food, other than pairing.
I'll make you a good smash burger.
I'm coming around.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, trips that comes down, they're great.
I mean, people are gonna hear this because this comes out 3 weeks from tomorrow. But WrestleMania would have been technically where we'd be in the future when this episode comes out.
Yeah.
But WrestleMania is next week.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, I'm not making smash burgers, but do you like barbecue?
Oh, yeah.
And son, you live in Montebello, so you're going to be down the street. So in Pico by South Ranchito, where my uncle lives. Oh, hold on. I'll probably cut out the.
Give me your address and your blood type real quick.
Yeah.
But Social Security?
I'm going to be making pork belly burn-ins. I'm going to be making chicken sausage burn-ins from Mama's Kitchen here in LA.
Give me your menu for Sunday, because I'm definitely down for Sunday, because I am actually.
Boneless wings. Like, I'm probably going to make like 200 or 300 boneless wings.
Because I am doing the LA Beer Fest the 6th.
Okay.
So
Sunday would probably be the better one anyway, because it's going to be like, you know, the end of the show. So I'm down.
The story ends.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Does it end? Maybe. Does it not end? I mean, I can cut in two different things right here. We can say Cody
Rocky
Rhodes
sucks.
Won.
Rocky sucks.
Yeah. Or we can say Roman won. Aw, shit. And then I can cut that.
Yeah,
out.
We should do Roman. Yeah. Bloodline lives.
Yeah.
And then like the story has ended.
Yeah.
The story is fulfilled.
And Cody I hope he wins.
Me too. That would be stupid.
Like, how are you going to do 2 years in a row?
Yeah, it's got to happen.
Yeah.
Wrestling's fun.
Oh, it's the best.
It's so good.
I have the winged eagle.
My favorite. Yeah, that's the 90s attitude era.
Right now it's sitting in Noble's tap room. Go back and get it.
Shout out Noble.
Yeah, they're great.
Those are my boys.
Naughty sauce.
Oh yeah, the naughty sauce.
The naughty sauce.
That blonde stout always. Oh, yeah.
I went to school there, so that was, and I graduated in 2016, so it was before Green Cheek was over there. Oh, yeah. Before, obviously, what?
That was before everywhere. Brad and Evan. Everywhere.
Yeah.
And so Noble was the spot, and I was there every day.
Watching
the Laker game, watching anything that was playing on that big screen.
Yeah, shout out to Evan, Brad, but even Windsor, too. Like you mentioned earlier, like Windsor, like if you ever just want to go have some really good beers and they're from all over the place, Windsor, man. Like, like you can find so many different beers on tap from all over the country.
Yeah, what did you have and then you brought back? When you went to Windsor last, I feel like it was sold out like everywhere.
Trillium.
Yeah.
Is it Trillium?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They have some amazing beers. And honestly, you know, we have a small homebrew club that we do once a month, kind of just experimental 5 gallon, what have you. And I get all my ingredients at Windsor and have a couple beers there and just kind of coast around in Costa Mesa. And it's just so much fun. So yeah, definitely.
Well, honestly, like, thank you guys. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. This is a lot of fun.
Thanks for
getting me out of bed.
You're welcome.
I would still be there right now.
Yeah. No, but honestly, I just love doing this. I love hearing from you, like, you know, hearing from people like you, like, and being able to, you know, even coming from, you know, different, you know, like I said, different journeys to get where you wanted to, but you're both doing what you love.
Absolutely.
And to me, that's all that matters. So I appreciate you guys. And thanks for opening up the brewery to me early on a rainy Saturday morning in Southern California. As long as it's not raining on WrestleMania, we're good.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, but it, normally this is probably the rainiest season we've had in one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by far.
Yeah. And I'm not a weatherman or anything like that, but just calm the fuck down, Jesus.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Lord.
Bye.
All right. I'm going to end it with that. Thanks, guys. All right. Appreciate you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Art.
And I'm Jesus.
And we are LA Brew Life. And I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Tap Room Podcast with Mike, in which he interviewed Jonathan and Josh from Frogtown Brewery. And because of that, we're going to review a Frogtown beer. And just so you know, my brother, he's here from Denver. He's visiting from Denver. So we took the opportunity to do a dual beer review. So let's see what he thinks. So the beer is Split Decision Hef, coming in at 5% ABV. And what's interesting about this one is I was talking to the brewer, Jonathan, and he was explaining that part of the aromas and the flavors, which are hints of bananas and clove, he gets from the yeast they use, which is very interesting. And that's why I actually had this a couple times, but I'm kind of interested to see what you think about it. And let's open it up. And but first, my brother's also a graphic designer, 3D renderer. He does all our stuff, and I want him to talk about what he thinks about the can art.
Yeah, this can art's really cool. I definitely like the banana and the gears. It's very clever. And
yeah, it's very cool.
I like that kind of ink style drawing, which is great.
Yeah, it's very cool. I like the gears also. And just if anyone wants to check out the actual can art, it's on our highlights on their LA can, if you guys want to check it out. But now let's open it up. That's always a good sound.
Pour it.
I could already smell the aromas. All right. So smelling it, what are you getting?
Oh, yeah. I can definitely smell the banana.
Yeah, I can smell the banana. And again, it's interesting because with beer, it's, you know, there's four ingredients, and I always learn something new. And that's why I, in talking to Jonathan a couple of times, it always intrigues me, because I would never know that something like the aromas of bananas and clove would come from yeast. So just the fact that we're getting that. Oh, and my niece is also here, Rosemary. She's 21, and we're teaching her about beer. So it's a good thing. And she doesn't have a mic, but thumbs up or thumbs down. She's giving a thumbs up. So, okay. So definitely the aroma's there. Now let's taste it. I've had this before and I personally love it. What do you think about it?
I like the subtleness of the banana. It's not overpowering.
That's really great.
Good.
Yeah. Smooth. But yeah, it's very good. And again, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode with Frogtown Brewery, and salute everyone. And yeah, we're going to continue tasting this and enjoying it. Cheers.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Like I said, it was really fun for me. Got to, you know, hanging out and talk with them. Definitely go down to Frogtown. It's a really cool spot and really amazing beer. Can't wait for you guys to see the reel. It was really fun to make. So yeah, next week we do have the Geeks Who Drink episode. And then the week after that will be Campsite. And I'm going to be recording next Sunday at Asylum. So that should be pretty fun. Got a lot of stuff coming up. So stay tuned. All right, and go Avalanche. Cheers, Dive Pack.